We are Radio Catskill.
Welcome to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. You're doing well and staying safe. In the second half of the show, we'll find out about a Lego show that's happening this Saturday. Before that, we'll have Chris Rowley from Chihuahua Journal. But before that, let's start off with congestion pricing. After the start of congestion pricing in New York City, Governor Kathy Hochul has proposed investing in the Hudson Valley Transit. The proposal to be part of her state-to-state address on Tuesday aims to cut travel times on the Metro North Railroad and make the most of ferries and bus lines. But as WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Jesse King reports, the idea hasn't made the toll easier for some of the region's lawmakers to digest.
The Poughkeepsie train station can be a busy place just minutes before your train. Jeff Holliday and Andy D'Esso are getting ready for a day in New York City, and judging by their Rangers uniforms, a hockey game at Madison Square Garden.
We gave it away.
She's pretty good. She's a lucky guest.
Going from Poughkeepsie to Grand Central on the Metro North's Hudson Line takes at best around 95 minutes during peak hours. At off-peak times, the trip is nearly 2 hours. Holliday and D'Esso are from the Catskill area, so when their train returns to Poughkeepsie tonight, they'll still have an hour drive, but they seem pretty resigned to it.
This is our option. We don't get to get home at night if we don't take Metro North home, so.
Technically, they could have driven to the Garden, but with congestion pricing now in place, they'd have to pay $9 to drive into Lower Manhattan south of 60th Street, on top of other tolls and parking. Proponents say the point is to decrease traffic and air pollution by encouraging people to take trains and buses instead. Hochul wants to make that easier by shortening trips in the Metro North by up to 15 minutes and bringing Super Express trips from Poughkeepsie to Grand Central under 90 minutes. To do so, some of her ideas include increasing capacity at Poughkeepsie Yard, adding a second track at Spuyten and Duyvil, adding a third track to the Harlem Line, connecting the Hudson Line to Penn Station, and putting together a working group between the MTA, New Jersey Transit, and CT Rail.
Hi, everybody. We're announcing we're going to be shaving time off the trips.
Hochul's announcement came with statements of support from some local leaders, including Poughkeepsie Mary Vaughn Flowers and Beacon Mayor Lee Kiriakou, both Democrats. But for those who have opposed congestion pricing with protests and lawsuits over the years, Hochul's proposal isn't making the toll any easier to tolerate. State Senator Rob Rollison, a Republican from the 39th District, says congestion pricing is unfair to suburban commuters who can't avoid driving into Manhattan for work, like police officers and construction workers.
The chance for government to make mass transit or any type of transit, whether it's the infrastructure of our state highways and our roadways, better makes sense. But I don't think that you can necessarily link it to the backs of taxpayers and individuals who have to pay this congestion tax.
Rollison was part of a press conference in Albany on Wednesday, where Senate Republicans called on MTA Chair Jano Lieber to resign, in part due to congestion pricing. Also there was 38th District Senator Bill Weber of Rockland County. Weber has co-sponsored a bill by Senate Republicans seeking to repeal congestion pricing and conduct an audit of the MTA's finances.
We want to have a full audit. We want to have MTA Commissioner Jano Lieber resign. We want the governor to remove him if he will not resign. And let's get competent leadership back in the MTA.
Such a bill is unlikely to gain traction in the Democrat-controlled legislature, but congestion pricing did face pushback on both sides of the aisle, especially among lawmakers west of the Hudson River, which doesn't have a direct train line into Manhattan. Rather, the Port Jervis line takes Orange and Rockland commuters to Secaucus, where they must ride a New Jersey train to Penn Station. Rockland County Executive Ed Day says he's insulted Hochul's proposal doesn't include more for transit west of the Hudson. Hochul has proposed a transit analysis to look at the MTA's options.
This has been studied to death. What kind of study are you going to perform now? We are getting the shaft here in Rockland. It is not fair. It's not right. And you are basically spitting in the face of every Rocklander here, and I will not tolerate it without a response.
Day sent a letter to Hochul's office with his own recommendations to expand transit Wednesday. Back in Poughkeepsie, Holiday and DSO don't seem too bothered by congestion pricing, as they don't want to deal with driving in the city anyway. They also don't seem too bothered or impressed by Hochul's plans to speed up the Metro North. They usually take Amtrak, but since Amtrak cut back on its night schedule, their recommendation is pretty simple.
They need to run more trains. That's the one thing.
They need to run the late train out of New York back north.
Right, make it convenient. Well, I don't care if it's a 90-minute train, whatever train it is, as long as the train's running.
Reporting from Poughkeepsie, I'm Jesse King for the New York Public News Network.
Thank you to Jesse King, and thank you to the New York Public News Network. It's Friday on the Local Edition, and every Friday we have the one and only Chris Rowley from the Schwankwick Journal. Chris, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year. Let's talk about a new person in Ulster County. Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger appointed Laura Nordstrom as the Director of Housing and Homelessness. What can you tell us about her?
Laura Nordstrom has been working for Ulster County all her life, her career, but she's just been appointed by the County Executive Jen Metzger to be the Director of Housing and Homelessness. So Laura Nordstrom is now taking on a pretty hard job. She's going to be dealing with the homeless situation in Ulster County, which is concentrated in many ways in Kingston and in Allenville to some extent as well. And also out of that there's a whole Gordian knot, a nexus point of all sorts of difficult issues that come together that make it very hard to have any housing built that's affordable. Talk to anybody who's in the building business and they'll tell you they can't make money on a stick-built house that sells for anything less than $400,000 now.
Yeah.
So that's just out of range for an awful lot of people. They can't afford that. Maybe they could afford something half that, but not $400,000. Until that's broken, or until we can get through and have apartment buildings or complexes, this really tight squeeze on housing in Ulster County will continue. So Laura will be looking at that as one end of the thing that she has to deal with. And the other end will be people who are really in crisis and just larded it up, really. She said, Laura brings a wealth of experience to this new position and indefatigable energy. And I have to say, as someone who has, I've not worked with Laura, but I've been at meetings and events where she's been in charge or doing stuff, and she does have indefatigable energy. She is a kind of a whirlwind of organization. And she spent her entire career working for people in Ulster County, youth programs, housing, utility issues, constituent services. She knows, this person knows deep, deep down all the way that housing stability is not really rock solid anymore. There's a lot of people who are teetering on the edge, and she'll be working to shore everything up and to help with emergency homelessness and getting permanent housing programs going. And one thing that's interesting about this is that what she's, one of the things she's going to, and this is will be of interest to people in Sullivan County too, is that this new family-centered services program is being funded by the state. This is another thing coming from the Hochul administration. And family-centered services looks at basically families in need and how they can achieve stable home, stable housing, and then work with all the county service agencies to get what they need in terms of, oh God, whatever, whether it might be emergency medical help or whether it might just be finding a job. There's all sorts of things that people can be helped with. So that's what Laura will be doing. And that's going to be very interesting to see, because she's going to bring a lot of energy to that position. Congrats to her. And I guess that's good news. And then on the flip side, I got some pretty terrible news from a house in Accord that burned to the ground on Christmas morning about 1:40 a.m. And the thing about this house was, it wasn't just any old house. This was the center of the Brown Farm, which began somewhere around 1820. It's been there for about 200 years. And the house was at the center of, was what, one of those houses that had grown with additions over the many decades, and it just completely gone. And Melissa Brown, who was living there, is out. She's staying with her mother right now, with her partner. and they're looking to see what the hell they can do. We have an article in this week's paper. If anybody wants to help Be Good Samaritans, take a look at that issue. There's contact information there for Melissa Brown. This is one of those things. It's an old house. They had a wood stove in the kitchen, but that was the last place to burn. So it didn't come from the stove. It came from wiring in the living room. And this happens all the time. We're all living this situation of elderly wiring in our homes that's very expensive to do anything about and is a constant risk. I think about it a lot since I live in a 100-year-old home. And I look at those walls sometimes and I think, what's in there? But anyway, so that caught and her partner woke up. She was out at a celebration. He woke up in the bedroom full of smoke and basically struggled to find the window, get out, and then fell off the roof of the porch. Unfortunately, no one could get back in to rescue their animals. So they lost four dogs, three cats, and some turtles. And everyone, they all were named pets and were much loved. And Melissa and John Tackett, her partner, were serial adopters of senior dogs, which is a great thing to do. Something that should be encouraged because there are so many dogs that lose their homes and then what? They're going to live in a kennel or a shelter. It's really so hard when really good people are hammered this way. Anyway, so that's that story, which was a tough one.
Yeah, that's scary. It's something I also want. My home is not that as old as yours, and it was built in the 70s, and I worry about that all the time. And actually, it's a couple of years ago, I had incidents that things were just shorting out. For no reason, even when I didn't have anything on, and then we come to find out it was because of the old wiring or miswiring. Some things were maybe wired wrong. And it is a growing problem as infrastructure grows, and I don't know how true are these things, but I see some things on the internet that things that you could plug into the wall and you help detect these things before they happen. But you know, obviously, the whole I don't know how true all these things are, but it is a growing concern, especially now in the winter. And I was going to ask you whether. Do you know this person had either a electric heater or something plugged in or electric blanket plugged in? Because that'd be pulling a lot of power.
Yeah, I don't know about that detail. I think she seems to think that it began in a living room, possibly around a plug to TV and computer and stuff like that. With the big flat screen TVs, there's a significant power suck there too. Sometimes you might find that your plug to your TV is getting warm, tells you something. Yeah, it's an issue, and it's so expensive to do anything, but I like to take the walls off, clear, pull off the sheetrock and look and see what the hell's happening in there. And then there's another thing, which is that there are certain mice that, for whatever goddamn reason, like to chew wire.
Yeah.
I mean, and they start fires all the time. I know there was a fire caused over in a winery over in Gardner, not too long ago, and they put it down to that the mice had just, rodents had just attacked the wires. It's another of those risks, but I didn't know that there was any equipment you could purchase to look at your walls that way. I think I will take a look at that,
because
it might be a significant relief.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a scary thing. And as to hear that, it's the most home fires I've noticed are, as a reporter, I noticed that usually happen in the winter. Either it's a wood stove overloading the electrical system because of a electrical heater or electric blanket on, and you're dealing with old homes or not clean flues and chimneys that can always cause fires.
Yeah, the chimney thing is a serious business. At the beginning of every wood burning season, if you burn wood, you really need to get the chimney people in to give it a clean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Save yourself the grief. Yeah. So the final thing I have this week is just an addition to the ongoing UCRRA landfill matter. That's the UCRRA is the resource recovery agency for the county. It's headquartered in Kingston. And naturally enough, they're looking to some property in Dairyland, which is about as far from Kingston as you can get and still be in Ulster County. And they're looking to have 100 acres for a landfill, countywide landfill. Mm. But this week I did an interview with Mark Ryder, the director there, and it's got some interesting stuff. It's worth looking at. It'll be in the paper. Shongum Journal. He's looking at this in a lot of different ways. Anyway, but one thing he said that I think we ought to just broadcast a bit is that the New York State DEC will not give a permit to a landfill that's created on land taken by eminent domain. And he said that with absolute finality, bang.
Wow.
So that means that it's all going to have to be negotiated. If they are to do it there, they'll have to get people to sell them the land, and they can't just seize it. But anyway, that I think that might help some people sleep a little more easily at night. And we will be following the story. It's not over yet. He's going out to get an RFP out to engineers right now, and they'll be maybe by mid-March giving that contract to somebody, and they'll start looking at the technical aspects of what they have to do. Anyway, a busy week, as they all are now, and we go on into the new year, and Happy New Year, everybody. And from the Shongong Journal, we say... At least we're not on fire at this point.
Yeah, no, it's when you see the things what's happening in LA and California, you're thankful for things like that. But it's also things we have to worry about, because we do also have wildfires. And like a couple of years ago, we had multiple wildfires in one day. Not to the extent, of course, now what's happening in LA. But it's like we talked about, it's scary that these things are happening more and more.
Yeah. Yep. The fire, 2015, the fire along the top up here. Yeah, there's been numerous fires, and some of them have been pretty big, but nothing on the scale of what's going on in Palisades and over at Tadena out there in L.A. Yeah, wow. Yep. Anyway, that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah. Chris, again, thank you so much for talking to us. Again, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for Chris. For the news from Ellenville and Ulster County, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
And I was talking to a former Biden administration official who was saying that folks in Greenland are alarmed about the tariff threats. And there's a sense in Greenland that this is different than the discussion in 2019, which was this would be great for us strategically. That's a little different than I want this and I'm going to take it.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we cover the truly surprising parts of the news, as Roy Blunt Jr. recently discovered.
Is the Pope Catholic?
Shut up! I'm Peter Sagal. You'll never know what shocking things you find out on this week's show. For example, special guest Josh Gad is not actually an enchanted singing snowman. Join us for this week's eye-opening quiz from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. There is a Lego show that's happening at the Sullivan Public in Eldred, New York. Earlier today, Tim Bruno from Radio Chatskill had a chance to speak to Adrian, the head of the children's program at Sullivan Public, about this upcoming Lego show that's happening on Saturday starting at 11.
Well, Legos, those ubiquitous plastic bricks, are being celebrated tomorrow with a community-wide celebration of Legos at Sullivan Public in Eldred, New York. Adrian Herdersky is the head of children's programs at Sullivan Public, and she joins us now to tell us more. Hi.
Hi. Glad to be here. Thank you.
And you brought some Legos with you, too. I'm looking at, like, is this a fire-breathing dragon Lego?
Yeah, so I brought with me a Ninjago dragon. This dragon will be set up at the show tomorrow. This one is actually really eager to get his hands on some threads and some sewing equipment. So when you come tomorrow, you'll see him set up with some of the other mediums that we have in the studio at Sullivan Public.
Tell us about this Lego show and how it came about. Are you a big Lego fan?
I am. So my Lego love really stems from my dad. He is the Lego master of our family. And as long as I can remember, he's been a Lego collector. He does a lot of free builds himself. He hasn't quite been on Lego Masters before, but he's like that level of Lego lover for sure. So
what's a free build for those of us who are not into the Lego lingo?
Yeah. So often you'll see sets for sale on the shelf that have instructions and certain bricks already picked out, ready to go. Free build is where you're just taking loose bricks and you're making your own. So for example, tomorrow you'll see a free build haunted house. So that's not something that there's a set for. And this thing is massive. So we've got trap doors. We've got all kinds of figures that you're going to see in there. So the free builds are a chance for people to kind of explore on their own what they want to create.
So tomorrow, this is the culmination of your Lego club at Sullivan Public.
It is.
Tell us a little bit more about the club and what folks can expect to see tomorrow.
Absolutely. So the club is students who do a mix of sets and free builds. We also do challenges, and those students are going to be putting those sets on display. So we've got tables set up. We've got our youth community members that are putting in displays. We've got some older community members that are also going to be putting in displays. So you're going to see builds that represent students from all across the county.
Okay. And so will folks be able to also do some of their own builds or participate a little bit or play around?
Yeah. So tomorrow we do have some hands-on activities, some involving Lego, and some also we've got the local science club that's going to be doing some science demonstrations. We've also got a Lego photo booth. We've got some magazines set up for the kids to kind of peruse and look through. And then we've got many, many creations that kids will be able to really take some time and to look for. We've also got a scavenger hunt that we're setting up as well. So kids, when they come in, they'll have a couple special things that they can look for as they explore the builds.
And, you know, I mentioned that you brought a Lego dragon here, but now I'm just realizing as I look at you, you're wearing a Lego sweatshirt. You've got Lego earrings.
Yeah.
You're a Lego enthusiast, as is your family. You mentioned your dad.
Yes.
When you started this club, were you surprised about the number of Lego enthusiasts in the area?
Yes and no. Lego is very popular, and it always has been amongst youth, but also amongst adults. So the conversations that I've been having with kids about Lego over the years have been amazing to hear about their incredible builds and the things that they're working on. But it's also been amazing to hear from adults who have grown children who did Lego and who have, careers in landscape architecture and engineering and all of these amazing things that, parents attribute, you know, Lego was the start of that, and now their child has launched into this amazing career. So it's been an incredible journey just sharing my love with the kids. And also I could go on and on about the benefits of Lego, the social emotional benefits, the fine motor skills, the sequencing. It's really just fun, and it's got all of these layers of things that are great for child development and for community. I mean, this event is attracting people from across the county, young, old, and alike. You know, bring your dog.
What is it about the Legos, do you think, that just spans these generations and continues to keep going? I mean, it's been around for a little while, but it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and people keep coming to it and keep playing with it.
Yeah, you know, I think it really boils down to individual expression. Lego is a way that people can build sets that are about the things that they're passionate about, their interests. You know, you're going to see Harry Potter sets. You're going to see Minecraft sets. You're going to see all kinds of things that, you know, you might recognize. But then you've got all of these amazing free builds that, you know, unless you ask what's going on there to a child, you really don't know the depth of what is really going on inside that build until you ask. So I think it really boils down to imagination and creativity. And a lot of times kids, they have that uninhibited creativity. But as adults, you lose that a little bit. And Lego, I think, is a way to regain that. And even if you're not a builder, come out and see these builds, because there is something for everybody. And it's impressive. Whether you're a builder yourself, you're going to be impressed by what you see.
So you brought a few other Legos there. What else did you bring for me here? I'm not a builder, so maybe I can learn a little bit out of this.
So here we've got a Jurassic Park. This is a cage.
Oh, wow. This is like a cage. Yeah, that you've seen in the movie. It like moves with the grate there. And then, yep. Oh, you've got a dinosaur to go into the grate. Yeah. T-Rex. Ooh, I dropped it.
We also got a mix of, yep, the famous sound of the brick.
Yes, yeah.
You heard it there.
It crash. Yeah. But you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have all of these fancy, like, you know, things like this. It was really just the bricks. And, you know, it's definitely developed over the years. I don't even remember if we had kits. I just remember like bags of bricks and we were always losing them. And our mom was getting mad at us for like, you know, stepping on them. But, I do remember the creativity and like the things you could do with the color and the different types of ways to make and build. What do you think about this progression of it into all these different areas?
Well, I think it's so interesting because, recently I got into learning about like a little bit of history of Lego, specifically Fabuland, which is Lego from like the 70s, and how different the Fabuland Lego looks and sort of the evolution of Lego. So now we're familiar with Lego Friends, but the predecessor to Lego Friends is actually something called Lego Belleville, which we're going to have examples of at the Lego show tomorrow. So there's actually going to be a little bit of a history twist. So that way folks can see that Lego, just as, you know, the world changes and develops, Lego does too. And it meets, you know, it meets the needs and the interests, I think, of the community while still giving that sort of open, free build. You know, you can go to Lego, you can pick the bricks off the wall, and then you can build whatever it is in your imagination.
All right. The Lego show is tomorrow at Sullivan Public, which is 16 Proctor Road behind the library in Eldred, New York. It's from 11 to 3.
Yes.
And is it a free event or?
Yes, this event is free. And we're so thankful to the Sullivan County Youth Bureau for making this programming accessible to our community. So like I said, these builds represent students from all across the county. I mean, the reach is wide and we couldn't be more thankful to offer events like this for free, free science demonstrations, free raffle, free photo booth. You know, this is come out and have a good day, be with your community, support the kids and support the local businesses that are a part of it.
And pick up some of your enthusiasm that you're generating here. I can see it and you can hopefully can hear it and feel it if you're listening. Adrian Herdersky, also known as Miss Adrian,
yes,
is the head of children's programs at Sullivan Public, and she'll be there along with other enthusiasts community-wide celebrating Lego at the Lego show at Sullivan Public. More information at sullivanpublic.com. Fun fact I looked up, laid end to end, the number of Lego bricks sold in a year would reach more than 5 times around the world.
Can't say amazing. I'm surprised. Listen, if you come to my house, I'll get you halfway around the world.
Thank you so much. Have a great show. Have a great weekend.
And that does it for the Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. If you ever miss a show, guess what? We have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Visit our website at wjffradio.org. You can find all the interviews that we've done for Radio Chatskill and Local Edition on their page. And you can sign up for our newsletter. Our newsletter comes out every Friday. We curate some of the interviews that we've done in the past week and keep you informed of upcoming events. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. Check it out. We're there. Let's take a quick look at the weather for this evening. I can tell you right now, it's going to be cold. There'll be a chance of light snow, mainly after 1 a.m., and it will be cloudy with a low around 19. And on Saturday morning, a chance of snow showers, mainly before noon, cloudy with a high near 30 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 36. And Saturday night, goes back down, partly cloudy with a low around 18. Again, I've been your host, Patricio Robayo, for the Local Edition on a Friday. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, stay safe this weekend. Bundle up. It's cold. Check out your loved ones. And stay safe. I'll talk to you soon.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org. WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.